Hey everyone, I'm Tara Lynn of Geek Saga Entertainment, and welcome to the Geek Saga Show's solo podcast series, Impulsive Hyper Focus. First things first, follow me at Geek Saga on Blue Sky, Facebook, Instagram, and or Threads for insight into my life, and of course updates about this and other Geek Saga Entertainment endeavors. And if you want early access to these and other podcast-only recordings, links to personal Spotify playlists, show notes, writing samples, and more, check out the Geek Saga Entertainment Patreon at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment. I've been working on this episode about my sorority experience for a long time now. And to be honest, it is by far one of the most difficult episodes I've ever tried to piece together. I had so many good and not so good experiences being in a sorority. And to be honest, my experiences as an alum have run the gamut as well. But before I really dig into all of that, I always start these Impulsive Hyperfocus episodes by highlighting one thing about myself, generally something that's at least sort of related to what I'm covering in the episode. For this one, I feel like the most pertinent thing I could give a bit of info on is some generic stuff about my college, I guess it's choices rather than experiences, because getting into all the college things would probably be more than one episode. What I really wanted to touch on was the fact that I was actually a transfer student to the school I graduated from. To make the story of how I ended up there as brief as possible, let's see. So fresh out of high school, I actually went to an all-girls college about 30 minutes from my hometown. And listen, nothing against the school itself, but wow, was that not for me. Why did I go there at first? Well, despite considering several schools farther from home, I simply wasn't ready to move far away just yet. To be fair, I was only 17 when I graduated and didn't turn 18 until halfway through my freshman year. I'd also never spent more than a week away from home at any one time, and most of the times I was away, I was with at least some of my family. For instance, even when I went to church camp every summer for many, many years, see Geek Saga podcast episode 144, by the way. That was only a week long, and at least one of my sisters was with me for, I don't know if I want to say most of my years, but many of my years for sure. Anyway, I digress a bit. I also had a full scholarship to that first school, and again, going into all of the reasons that it didn't work for me would take way too long. But suffice it to say that by the end of my first semester of my freshman year, I was already looking into other options for my sophomore year, and then I ended up kicking that year off by doing the Walt Disney World College program. If you want to hear literally all about that, maybe more than you would ever possibly want to know, well, I suggest listening to Geek Saga podcast episodes 41, 42, 46, 50, 51 and 52. So once I had actually been so far away from home for the Disney College program, I was more than ready to transfer somewhere else that was also far from home. I looked at schools in New Jersey, upstate New York, Central Florida, and Virginia, but really I knew that I wanted to be somewhere warmer than my home state of Connecticut. And after visiting a couple of the southeastern located schools that I've been researching, I made my choice and basically never looked back. The one I chose certainly had its quirks, but regardless of any of the sorority stuff I'm going to talk about in this episode, I had a great time at my university and am extremely proud to be an alum from there. All that said, now that I've given the briefest of explanations of how I ended up as a transfer student at my alma mater, I think I should probably kick this off with the fact that if you actually know me now, especially in real life, I would be shocked if you heard me talking about being in a sorority and were like, yeah, that tracks. Because to be quite honest, I don't think it does. Shoot, even when I was in college, I'm not sure I really quote unquote fit the general idea of someone who would join a sorority. But regardless of whether or not you are surprised that I pledged one, for some time I've wanted to tell my story about how I did the thing and came out the other side. While this is my no holds barred, totally honest explanation of how I went from being a super nerdy kid to a super sorority girl to privately deinitiating myself to editor of my sorority's national magazine to, well, now where I'm just kind of like, I was in a sorority, it might not be as dishy as you expect, mostly because I graduated from college more than 20 years ago. Memories are fuzzy or fading, and some are gone forever, as are so many of the strong feelings I had about certain things that happened. What I do know for sure is that I don't necessarily regret being part of my sorority, but also, I don't know. I don't feel any sort of strong attachment to it anymore either. It is what it is and all that. I'm going to begin this story by going way back to the fall of 2002 when I transferred to a small state university in South Central Virginia. I actually only lived on campus for my first year, and pretty much right away, two of my suite mates told me that they were in a sorority. I honestly can't remember if they were in the same one or different ones, but I suppose that's neither here nor there. Anyway, I went to one of their sorority's open recruitment events toward the beginning of my first semester, but I felt completely out of place. Not that they were awful or anything, I just didn't feel the vibes. On top of that, I was also still feeling out my own willingness to even join a sorority at all. I had a lot going on, not the least of which was that as a transfer, I was trying to figure out the fastest path to graduation. That, and I also almost immediately got involved in theater at the all-boys college just up the road, being cast as Luciana in their production of Comedy of Errors. Great experience, by the way. However, I was still interested in doing the thing. And as it happened, one of my classes in my first semester at that university was with a sister of the sorority that I ended up joining, which I guess I need to put a name to because I feel like otherwise this whole episode will just sound awkward and stupidly wordy. So let's call it Omega Zeta Epsilon. From here on out, referred to as OZE. Anyway, back to the story at hand. So I had a class with an OZE sister, and as it turned out, another girl in that class was a legacy OZE. Oh, and that production I was in at the nearby all-boys college, well, the girl who played my twin in Comedy of Errors was an OZE as well, and there might have been a crew member who was too. Side note, if you don't know what a legacy is, it's someone who has a relative, sister, mother, aunt, etc., who was an alum of a sorority. Or maybe it's the same term for all Panhellenic organizations. Whatever. Considering that I knew and liked so many OZE sisters already, I went to an OZE open house in January of my second semester at my college, already knowing that if I got a bid, I would accept it. But at the same time, I'm not sure I really knew what I was getting into. More on that later. To get some of the boring things out of the way first, I was lucky, I guess, that OZE, at least our chapter, had one of the lowest dues amounts in the country, at least as far as I can recall, that is. It was definitely one of, if not the lowest at our school, but I'm pretty sure I'm on the money, saying in the country to boot. I believe it was less than $300 per, shoot, I can't remember if it was per semester or per year, and that was still a lot of money back in 2002-ish, regardless of whether it was per semester or per year, but certainly far less than the many thousands of dollars per year that I've heard about for other sororities. Also, I will say that my sorority was anti-hazing. That was a big part of why I chose them. I do not... do not in any way, shape, or form believe in, for instance, putting people down based on the way they look or straight up forcing them to drink at all, let alone to the point of blacking out. So while my pledge sisters and I absolutely goaded the sisters into quote unquote making us drink, the latter was all in good fun and never felt like we were being forced to do things that were dangerous to our health, mental or physical. Another sort of side note, my SO at the time was super against me joining a sorority. He had already graduated from college and lived about an hour away, and he really didn't agree with or like the idea of my being a sorority girl. More than a little bit hypocritical on his part, considering he was a fraternity alum. But at best, at one point, he said that he'd come to terms with the fact that I wanted to pledge. If I'm being honest, his attitude about the whole thing might have made me even more gung-ho about it, because I do not like being told I can't or shouldn't do things. A bit more of an aside, for a long time now, I've been a lot more thoughtful and less impulsive about it when someone suggests that something I want or want to do isn't a good idea. But back then, when I was so much younger, less mature, etc., I outright despised that sort of shit. Either way, I didn't let his attitude stop me, and after I went to that open house for OZE, they gave me a bid that very night. I immediately accepted, and that meant I was an Epsilon baby. Granted, about 2 weeks later, said SO was mad at me about it again, but whatever. At least at that point in my life, I was nothing if not a person who refused to be told what to do or not to do. And on top of that, I am definitely one who follows through on things, sometimes to my own detriment. So I accepted the bid, and the first month or so of pledging was actually pretty fun. Again, see the no hazing rule. Also, there were 7 of us in my pledge class, and we dubbed ourselves the Magnificent 7 and had a lot of fun with that at first. I'll come back to the at first qualifier in a few minutes. It was about a month into pledging, give or take a week, when I got a big sister. I will say that as the oldest in a family of 3 AFAB people, it was kind of exciting to have a quote-unquote older sister. Mine was a wonderful person who also happened to be about 8 inches shorter than me, which was funny. I also couldn't help but see the whole being assigned an older sister thing as cool. At least this means pledging is that much closer to coming to an end. Although that turned out to not quite be the case. I'm also gonna have to come back to that in a bit. But first, family stuff. I don't know how it is in other sororities, but in ours, our families had like themes. They were all animals, I think, and mine was the true, quote unquote, true turtle family. There was somehow a second turtle family that came around well after ours had been established. Maybe it was an offshoot of some sort. I can't recall, and this happened a while before I joined. And hilariously, my turtle family was always kind of schna about them, which, random aside, I know. But my big, grand big, great grand big, and great great grand big were all great. I was actually in my, I think, great grand big's wedding, which was in fact the only sorority sister wedding I was ever in. Anyway, as you can probably tell, I'm trying to have some fun with this, but I guess it's time to get back to one of the not so fun things I glossed over a bit ago. Because soon after our pin pledging ceremony and the excitement of having a big sister, things went downhill really fast. And for this part, I'm just going to read a journal entry of mine from late February 2003, but I'm going to preface doing so by saying that the semester I pledged, I was taking 18 credits worth of courses, aka a full fucking load. I was organizing a production of the Vagina Monologues at my school, and I was also part of another theater production at the aforementioned all-guys school, starring as the narrator, singer, and Magenta in Rocky Horror Picture Show, no less. So I was very busy, to say the least. Anyway, said journal entry. Friday was the beginning of the sisterhood retreat for OZE. It kind of started Friday afternoon when our pledge class went down to, store name redacted, to buy everything for our paddles. Then everyone met in the chapter room at 7 to play some games, eat, and watch movies. We stayed up, well, some of us, pretty late, talking about theater, love, sex. It was cool. There's a break in what I wrote here, I think because I started the journal entry at one point and I didn't finish it right away, but from what I remember, the TLDR is that we were supposed to sleep in the chapter room on the floor, and I had other things going on and just didn't do that. So back to what I actually wrote. I had to rush back up to the chapter room for a pledge meeting, only to find out it was canceled. I was somewhat annoyed about that. Then on Monday, I had a meeting for my job as a Disney College program campus rep at 3 p.m. I was supposed to have a roundtable thing from 7 to 8, but it ended up being canceled, and OZE started their meeting early, but didn't tell me end time, and I only got there like 20 to 25 minutes before it was supposed to start instead of like 45 minutes or more before. Then later that night, the BS started. First, our pledge mom IM'd me saying that my pledge sisters feel as though I have not been able to attend and be involved in as many activities and stuff as I am able to. So she told me that maybe I should email them and just kind of explain what's going on, which is what I did. So pledge sister name redacted emailed me back saying many of the pledge sisters felt it wasn't fair that I got to miss all these things and still be initiated, and that she wasn't sure I understood the meaning of sisterhood. Blah, blah, blah. I emailed her back basically just repeating everything I said in the first email. What did it get me? Nasty away messages all day and one thing piling on top of another until by 3:45 yesterday afternoon, I was in my room bawling and thinking very much that I didn't have the time or willpower to deal with people like this right now. I seriously want to throw in the towel. Honestly, to this day, I wonder what would have happened if I had just thrown in the towel. For one thing, I'm entirely certain that my life wouldn't have ended up any different. But I didn't do the thing, and within the next couple of weeks, we had what is called a gavel pass discussion for my pledge sisters and I. A gavel pass is like any other meeting where only the person holding the item can talk so that people don't interrupt each other. And, you know, hopefully tempers are kept in check. I didn't write much about it and have zero recollection of it at this point, but I did mention in my journal that the pledge sister who kicked off all of this drama ended up apologizing and admitting that she'd handled the entire situation wrong. Soon after that, we had our sorority formal, and then I passed my pledge exam, which I have only extremely vague memories of, but it was a lot of sorority history, values, policies, you know, all sorts of super fun stuff. I do remember one specific part of ours, at least for my chapter, or maybe it was just for my family, was memorizing pledge numbers and names of alum. They were all recorded in permanent marker on the walls of our chapter room closet, a secret place that we weren't allowed into until we'd been initiated. And honestly, that was probably the closest thing to hazing that I personally experienced. I actually credit being a history major and constantly having to memorize dates along with the names of people, places, battles, and the like to the fact that I got through this portion of the, I guess it wasn't the pledge exam, but the initiation at all. Also, it was more than a little bit hilarious that this stupid closet was something we weren't allowed to access at all until we were initiated, when all it was a little walk-in storage room that I think had a mini fridge and a bunch of random shit in it. Oh, we also had a parquet floor in our chapter room, and part of being initiated was getting to pull up some of it and write something on the flooring beneath. I want to say that our pledge class wrote something about being the Magnificent Seven, but again, it's been a long ass time, and I'm not sure if I'm remembering that correctly. Whatever. The TLDR is that we were finally, fucking finally, initiated. I will say that I had a note in my journal that it didn't really feel all that different, other than I got to wear sorority letters at that point. Just to touch on my earlier mention of how I thought that getting a big sister meant that pledging would be over soon, though, I don't recall all of the reasons why, but we had the longest pledge period of any pledges in, I think, the history of my sorority chapter, and longer than any other sorority's pledge period at my school that semester. I know part of it had to do with the spring break dates for that year, but every other sorority on campus was initiated prior to spring break, and I seem to remember there was some other circumstance, or maybe more than one, that delayed ours until after spring break. I also remember trying to laugh that off as a badge of honor, but by the time the next semester rolled around and our new pledges got initiated super fast, it became, at least in my mind, less a badge of honor and more of a what the fuck, guys, sort of situation. Though I suppose that at least was neither here nor there by that point. Still, I don't fault Babby Tara for being annoyed about it at that point. Speaking of my first semester as an initiated sister, funny enough, the two pledge sisters who initiated the drama surrounding me were out at the very beginning of the next semester. One of them transferred schools over the summer of 2003, and the other, the one who was absolutely the spearhead of that ridiculous movement, de-initiated right at the start of the fall 2003 semester. I know the hearsay as to why this happened, but hey, it's not my business to tell. Let's just say that it had nothing to do with the sorority itself, and leave it at that. Obviously, I wish that had been where the drama ended, but it kind of wasn't. That fall, we didn't win a single pledge via official recruitment. We had pledges, but very few, and it was obvious that something needed to change. It didn't help that because of how few pledges we had that fall, we decided not to participate in Lip Sync, which was a huge Panhellenic event at my school. And then on top of that, even though we attended the event, no one was actually chanting or acting as if they wanted to be there or be involved, which in a way I understood and I still understand now, but in my opinion, it reflected so badly on us. And I really started to see why it was so difficult for us to win pledges. I think the official term might be get pledges, but if it is, that verbiage simply doesn't sit right with me, so win pledges it is. Anyway, as my first semester as a sister progressed, I actually ended up being appointed recruitment chair for spring 2004, and I went into it with that mindset that something needed to change. At that point, all I could think was, I love this sorority. I love it so much, maybe too much. I hated knowing how wonderful so many of my sisters were, but also recognizing that so many of them didn't seem to believe in themselves, let alone us as a group. And here again, I'm going to quote my own journal entry because I think it says it better than I could ever remember it now. I wrote, I love my sorority sisters for who they are, for not only their beautiful traits, but for their flaws too, and we all have flaws. So how is it too much to want them to love themselves and each other and to want them to want more for this amazing sorority, this amazing group of girls that we belong to? We actually did okay in official recruitment the next semester, not as well as I would have liked or expected, and I think some of that was due to outside influences. I had a vision of what I wanted to do, but the woman who was the head of Panhellenic activities at our school was a former OZE, not from our school, and steered us in a different direction. Would things have gone any better if we'd gone with our original ideas? Maybe. I really don't know or care at this point, if I'm being completely honest. All I know is that for the first time in a long time, my sorority had girls running toward us to receive their pledge shirts at the official recruitment ceremony, and it was amazing to be a part of that. And honestly, as recruitment chair, to kind of be a big part in that happening at all. I still kind of pat myself on the back for that, and that was 22 years ago at this point. This was also the semester that I gained a little sister in my sorority. To be fair, I have two actual little sisters and I would not trade them for the world, but it was so fun to gain a little in an organization that I chose to be a part of, that she chose to be a part of, and that we went through another separate choosing situation to end up as big little. I don't really remember this, but I wrote about how I was nervous throughout the entire ceremony, sweaty palms and all, and how much I hoped that my little was as happy as I was, that she was part of the true turtle family, that I couldn't wait for my big and my great granny to meet her, etc. Also, this is a random aside, but a fun story. Right before the ceremony, we were talking about how we were supposed to bring our sorority charter outside with us when we have fire drills. And right after the ceremony was over that night, we had a fire drill that we honestly didn't know was just a drill at the time. And one of our sisters, quote, risked her life, unquote, to save the charter. When I read about that in my journal, I recalled it so viscerally and remembered how silly and also hilarious it was at the time. I will say that after talking to one of my OZE sisters about how I was recording this podcast, we both had very similar feelings about a lot of things, namely that the drama felt worse at times because we were a smaller sorority, but that we also had great memories of parties, especially at my apartment once I moved off campus. I will say that I eventually got to introduce my blood sisters and actually my Disney College program roommate to my sorority sisters during spring weekend 2004. We had theme parties, danced on tables, and even went to a fraternity field party, which, to be honest, was lame as fuck. Whoever decided that drinking in fields was a good idea. I did it a couple times in high school. Well, I went to field parties, but didn't really partake in the drinking back then. And it was never anything but lame then. It was lame when I did it this one time in college. Sorry, not sorry. But generally, that leads to me wanting to say that the memories I have of the spring 2004 semester with OZE are actually really good for the most part. Our pledges did participate in lip sync and they did amazing. But also, to be honest, my journal entries from that time period are kind of all over the map, including mentions of how I was missing my actual sisters because apparently I was still dealing with BS in the sorority. And compared to that, even my real life younger sisters, who I fought with like cats and dogs growing up, was preferable. And that's saying something. One really, really amazing memory I have, though, is from our sorority formal that semester. The sister who was in charge of organizing it that year will forever deserve all of the props because she found the perfect location, and it was just the absolute best time. It was like this camp sort of place with a big hall and cabins. So like we all rented cabins and spent, if not the whole weekend there, then at least the day and night of the formal. And I don't really have any details to give beyond that because, again, not only did this occur more than 22 years ago, but for those of us who were over 21, it was basically open bottle, shall we say. It was BYOB. I remember drinking a lot of wine, and other than that, the night was a complete blur, to say the least. I woke up the next morning with a splitting headache and only remembered bits and pieces of what had occurred the night before. And while I don't exactly feel proud about that, I still can't deny that it was a fun fucking time. And another recollection that I have came from that formal because I do recall that that weekend made me love my sorority and my sisters even more than ever before. I had had so much fun with them, and because I'd been a transfer student, I was very close to graduating already. So I was sad that my time there and my time with OZE was almost over. Here's what I wouldn't miss, though. Business meetings that regularly lasted until 11 p.m. Our charity thing called Swingathon that was us sitting on, gosh, I guess it might have been a portable porch swing, although it also might have been just chairs outside of a local gas station 24 hours a day, every day for like 3 days, maybe longer. Like it might have even been a whole week. Either way, it was stupid as fuck. Sorry, not sorry. I'm not saying that us trying to earn money for our charity was stupid. I don't quite remember what the charity was. I think it might have been MS, which great to support, of course, obviously. But also sitting on a, quote, swing, unquote, outside of a local gas station 24/7 for days. Who the fuck came up with that? In March or maybe April, but I think it was March in Virginia. Thankfully, the only time I had to actually participate was that semester. Maybe pledges didn't have to because I guess it could be considered hazing. And doubly thankfully, the only shift that I had was a daytime shift. But the shifts were, I think, 3 hours each. And because it was 24/7, that means people had to sit out there in the middle of the night and just, why? Why? Again, sorry, not sorry. Worst idea ever. To be fair, I have no idea how much money we made each year, but I can't imagine any amount was worth that nonsense. I would have given money to not ever have to sit there, honestly. Again, I will state, like yet again, I will state, sorry, not sorry. Now, I'm going to fast forward a couple of years because the following semester, I was only a part-time student and then I graduated. But in 2006, give or take 2 years after I graduated college, I wrote a blog post about what I would and would not change about my past. And one of the things I said I would not change at the time that I wrote this was joining a sorority and particularly joining OZE. What I wrote was, there have been a few times when I wasn't sure what made me join in the first place, when I wanted more than anything to walk away from the drama. Although I'm sure I'll keep in touch with a few of my sisters, I can't say for sure that I made any everlasting friendships. But if I could go back, I still would have joined. Yes, there was drama, more than I needed at certain points in my life. But in the end, I never would have had the college experience that I had without OZE. Without, and here I listed 9 names that I'm going to omit. So without these 9 sisters that I listed, without that crazy night of Ball 2004, or all the stupid parties at our apartment, or nights just hanging out with a couple girls, drinking and spilling more secrets than we maybe should have. I've separated myself from it all now. I'm probably not being the alum I should be, but that is a personal choice I had to make. It doesn't mean that I don't have fond memories and hope to someday have the money and the time to give the chapter what I can't give them right now. So I wrote that in January 2006, but then in May of that same year, I had a real turn cloak moment. At that point, I privately deinitiated myself from my sorority, which isn't a thing. And I knew it wasn't a thing when I did it or whatever. But in that moment, I felt the need to do it for myself. It involved a supremely private situation that one of my sisters had been party to. Something that I involved her in because I had no other choice. And I have to be vague here for many reasons, but I will say that even though it directly involved me, it wasn't something that I specifically did. Anyway, I found out that she had gossiped about this supremely private thing to basically the entire sorority back when it occurred. And yeah, I get it. I almost certainly shouldn't have been surprised that this happened among a bunch of girls in our late teens and very early 20s, but still, I was surprised to find this out. Surprised and hurt. The second issue was something I'm personally not proud of, but listen, we all do and say dumb things sometimes, especially when we're young, which I was. Like, I'm pretty sure I was 21 when this happened. I'm not using that as an excuse, just context, because again, young people are especially apt to do and say dumb things. Let's just say that myself and another sister were being young and dumb and saying stupid shit together, and for some reason, that sister, who, by the way, was one I counted among my closest friends at the time, decided to air parts of our conversation out of context, and I'm pretty sure exaggerated to boot, in a manner that made me, and only me, out to be the bad guy. Of course it doesn't bother me anymore, other than wishing I hadn't been young and dumb and saying stupid things I shouldn't have been saying, but at the time I found out about it, I really just felt like things were piling on all at once, and this was, I think, the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. So yeah, again, this was in May 2006, and I wrote in my journal, it's just not worth it anymore. I'm beyond college. I had my fun, and I don't want to go back. I have no money to give them now and probably won't anytime soon, and I also don't have the time to be carting my ass up to, insert college town here, for the few events that they have. Part of me feels like I should be sad about this, but I'm not. But that might be because I'm so damn angry right now. I never would have admitted this in the past, but damn it, I will now. I only joined a sorority to prove to myself that I could. I only joined OZE because they spouted all this BS about being different. They weren't different. In fact, I think maybe they were worse because not only did they have all the drama of the other sororities, but they were about half the size. So if three people were mad at you, you felt like a damn outcast. So that's it. I'm done. Fucking done. I'm not gonna lie, it hurt for a while that these everlasting bonds I was supposed to have built didn't last for even a few months, I guess, after I left college. But I got over it because I have plenty of friends from before, during, and after college, none of whom I paid for. I did at one point go back for one of our chapter events. I think it was our fall one that we dubbed Cocktails. And I had a lot of fun, even though, if I'm remembering correctly, I was the only alum there, which made it like a bit awkward. And yes, this was after I had done the private, this doesn't even really count, de-initiation thing with/for myself. Hypocritical, I know, but to be quite honest, I was curious. And at the time, I was very briefly living just an hour away from my school. Other than that, though, I distanced myself for many, many years. Never paid alum dues, only kept in touch with a few sisters in that vague manner of Facebook. Instagram wasn't even a thing at the time. So imagine my surprise when I was nominated to be featured in our sorority magazine in 2015. They were doing an issue on the wellness wheel, and I don't recall if I ever found out for certain who it was that put me on their radar as someone who could speak to emotional wellness. But despite my private de-initiation, I'm glad they did. This nomination came on the heels of an extremely tumultuous time in my life, as from mid-2014 and into 2015, I wrote and talked extensively about my mental health struggles, and it was less than a year later that the editors of the sorority magazine contacted me. To put it bluntly, I still don't know why they did. The things I posted during that period of my life weren't anything groundbreaking. I talked about how and why I had reached my breaking point and how I had sought help in the form of checking myself into an outpatient program at a hospital. And this was followed by months of sometimes good periods, sometimes very bad ones, during which I talked both about my continued struggles and, on the other hand, the people and pets and places and things that lifted me up. None of them sorority related, mind you. I don't know, maybe it was the fact that mere months after I hit rock bottom, I gave a TEDx talk about accepting yourself for who you are. Either way, I look back at that article in my sorority magazine and think, damn, Tara, you had some great points. So that's fun, at least. Also, that somehow led to me being an associate editor of my sorority magazine for several years, and everyone I worked with while I was doing that was lovely. It's weird to think that I had kind of washed my hands of the entire sorority experience only to end up featured in and then working on our magazine, a volunteer position that I only gave up when I reached a point where I had too many outside of day job activities and realized something had to give. While I do miss working on the magazine sometimes, I'm not ashamed to admit that my podcasting and volunteer work with a dog rescue were simply bigger priorities for me. And now that I've gone on and on and on about all of this, I have to say that while I wanted to come to some sort of grand conclusion with this whole I was in a sorority story, I don't really have one. I had both very good and very, very not good experiences as a pledge, a sister, and an alum. I am also extremely proud of the work I later did as an alum on our magazine, and I'm very grateful that they featured me as a paragon of emotional wellness, something that I still fight every day to attain because that shit is an ongoing battle, to say the least. So yeah, in the end, I don't really know how to conclude this recording. I don't think my life was truly changed by joining a sorority, or that I personally am any different for having done so. for sure there was a lot of silly, childish drama the entire time I was directly involved in it. But I also know that I had a lot of fun, and not just at that one supremely memorable formal. I don't love that some of that silly and childish drama continued even after we all graduated, of course, but what can you do, I guess? For my part, I feel that the nonsense that somehow lingered for a while after graduation has long since faded into obscurity, and honestly, how much did any of it really matter in the grand scheme of things anyway? So yeah, I guess that's it. Thank you for listening to me reminisce about these sometimes detailed, sometimes vague, and sometimes, yeah, totally random memories about my sorority experience. As always, if you have any thoughts on personal stories of mine you're interested in hearing, or any particular rants or rambles you'd like me to go on, send me a DM at A Geek Saga on Blue Sky, Facebook, Instagram, or Threads, or email ageeksaga@gmail.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to rate this podcast 5 stars on the podcatcher of your choice, and definitely follow me on the aforementioned social media accounts for the most current news and updates about this series. And please consider backing our Patreon at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment for early access to not just these impulsive hyperfocus episodes, but also to future episodes from our other series, including the upcoming Hot D Takes discussions about the 3rd season of HBO's House of the Dragon.